There we go. Or maybe not. Okay, something happened. Let's just go there. We have been talking about, since God knows everything that we need, why should we bother to pray? Why doesn't He just give us what we need and be done with it? Because He knows what we need even better than we know what to pray for, doesn't He? But then last week, as we were discussing, we found out that prayer is not something God needs. Prayer is something that we need. We learn through our praying. We learn humility. We learn to depend on God. We learn to trust. We make our relationship with God stronger and better. And so we're going to pick up this week where the scripture begins, "Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us." Now, think about this. There's two words here that are kind of that are connected kind of strangely. It doesn't say this time in this teaching of how to pray. Jesus doesn't say, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," or "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." He's making a very clear point. He's saying, "Forgive us our sins, Lord. God, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us." See how he put together sin and indebtedness. He did that on purpose. Because sin and debt are both slavery. Say that with me. Sin and debt are both slavery. Those who have been in financial debt know what it feels like. It feels like slavery. You work and you get a paycheck and you send it out to other people and, you know, there's not much left, if there's anything left, and you just feel bound up, don't you? You know, you feel like, well, I can't do anything, nothing, you know, please God don't let anything happen because I can't afford for it to happen. And you have all this feeling of just being tied up, of being constricted, debt. We have all kinds of debt. We have the financial kind, but we also have an indebtedness to other people. Some of us, I'm saying some of us, I'm making sure not to make eye contact with anyone in this room. Some of us won't ask for help because we don't want to be indebted to anyone. Did you hear what I said? That is false pride, by the way, if you want a definition of it. You don't ask for help because you don't want to feel indebted to anybody. You don't want people to help. Now, you're willing to help other people, and you wouldn't even necessarily want them to feel indebted to you. But we live in a world of human beings that, you know, it's quid pro quo. We're going to get to that in just a minute. You know, something for something. But this says that debt is slavery and forgiveness is freedom. Forgiveness is freedom. Don't you just love that word? Freedom. Freedom. Unbound, unchained. The very word just almost makes you want to float. It is such a good word because we were in debt because of our sin. We owed God what we could not pay. Jesus paid that price, so we are free. We don't owe that debt anymore. I just bought a car. I don't have it yet, but I bought it. And I'll tell you what. I walked in and I did the deal and talked them down and all this stuff. And I, was feeling pretty good about the whole thing. And as soon as I walked out the door, all of a sudden, I had a feeling in my stomach like I'd just been kicked. Because all of a sudden, at that point when I walked out, I realized that I had a whole lot of debt. A whole lot of debt. I hate debt. Yeah, amen. You know what? I have a list of rules that I follow, and rule number two is never do anything or don't do anything because of fear. Never do anything for fear. Don't refrain from doing something. Don't do something because of fear. So I had to have a car. So I got the car, but just because I say I won't let fear dictate my decisions, don't mean I don't feel fear. And I felt that. And all of a sudden, I started feeling the chains. I started feeling bound up. I started feeling constricted. And my stomach started to hurt. And I just thought, no, wait a minute. I'm supposed to at least enjoy a day before I start feeling it. But I didn't. I mean, the minute I walked out the door, I started feeling that fear of being in debt. And I went to see Robert Christian in the hospital. And right outside his hospital room, there was a whiteboard. And on that whiteboard, someone had written one of the Psalms that said that the Lord is always with you, do not fear. And I was free. The Word of God set me free. Now, does that mean that I'm not going to have fear again? No. But it means I'm free of worrying right now, at this moment. And the next time I start to feel that fear, I'm gonna go to that same scripture. Because, see, God has set me free. I'm not going to let Satan bind me up again with fear. You with me? You get it? All right. So if sin and debt to God or financial debt leads to fear, and we get forgiveness for, and that's freedom, what about for each other? Right? For each other? Don't we need to set each other free? Because forgive us, for we ourselves forgive everyone. Who do we forgive?
Everyone.
Who do we exclude from that?
No.
Yeah, and I tell you what, there's some people who've done things to us that are really, really bad. You know, I'm not talking about hurt feelings or, a little slight. I'm talking about there's some people that need to forgive some truly horrible things that have been done to them in life. But it doesn't say we get to forgive everybody except the really horrible people. That'd be a little easier. We have to forgive everyone. Now, that doesn't mean it's not hard to do. We have to forgive everyone, everything. I always think of Corrie Ten Boom when I think about that. Having to forgive the guard that killed her sister. Having to forgive the people that slaughtered her family, the people that slaughtered her neighbors, and the horror that she saw. And yet, we have to forgive. That don't mean you have to be their best buddy, but you have to forgive. Because forgive us and us forgiving are connected. They're connected to each other. The quid pro quo. Now understand, when Jesus made this statement, he lived in a society where You only did for people who could do back for you. For instance, you know, if I invite the Plossers to dinner, then I'm going to expect sometime soon that they're going to have me back, you know. They're going to come to my house for dinner. Well, I expect them then to invite me for dinner. Feel free to do it anytime. Oh, I'm sorry, that was out loud. You know, it's just one of those things where you always had this for that. It was always something for something. Quid pro quo, Latin means something for something. You always got a return. If I give Ashley a gift, then Ashley gives me a gift. It's kind of like the nonsense we go through at Christmas. You know? Some of that's just nonsense. It's just nonsense. I've walked that road of, you know, well, I know they're going to buy me something, so I'm going to have to buy them something. What should I get, you know? Oh, don't look at me like that. You all have been there. You know exactly what I'm talking about. That quid pro quo. Jesus taught us that we are supposed to give without expecting anything back. Anything. We're not even supposed to expect thank you. Now, I'm with you. I'm of the generation that gets a little perturbed when you've done something, you know. And I'm not throwing off on the younger generation. So don't hear something I'm not saying. But we have a generation now that have not been taught that you're supposed to thank someone when they send you a gift. You know, they don't get that. So, you know, I send my niece in Kentucky, I send her stuff, and I don't even know if she got it. You know, because I never hear anything. It's not because, I just like to know she got it, you know. It doesn't necessarily mean that I want to be thanked. But that's polite to say thank you, isn't it? You know, that's just polite. But we're not supposed to expect it, and we're not supposed to hold a grudge if we don't get it. Don't hold a grudge if you're not appreciated, you know, because that's what we do. We say, you know, I expect to be appreciated, but if I'm not, I can't hold a grudge for it. I can't hold a grudge because she didn't send me a thank you note and say, well, I'm not going to send her anything else. She didn't say thank you. She didn't appreciate what I did for her. Get our feelings hurt. And we do get our feelings hurt, and that happens. You know, and I'm not saying deny the fact that your feelings are hurt. I'm saying we forgive it. We give without expecting a return. Which is one of the reasons that, you know, all the little plaques in church drive me nuts. You know, and that's me. That doesn't mean everybody has to feel like I do about that. But that's one of the reasons. You know, if you're only given something so that your name will be on it, or somebody else's name will be on it, don't give it. Don't give it. Because you're giving with expecting to get a return. And that's not the kind of giving we're supposed to give. We're supposed to just give and forget it. You know, like, what, those Ronco products, set it and forget it? You know, give it and forget it. Just give it and have the joy of the gift and the giving and then let it go. Just let it go. Because can we ever repay what Christ has done for us? Can we? I don't care what we do. We can't repay that. He's not asking us to. We can't then expect others to pay their debts to us. We just forgive it. We just forgive. That's what we're supposed to do. And then it says, do not bring us to the time of trial. Now, we're not going to go into all the explanations of all the biblical scholars who have studied this and studied this and studied this and said, well, Jesus means this and Jesus means that. I think that we can sum everything that the scholars have to say in one word. It's a very difficult word. It's a very theologically sound word, and I'm going to teach it to you. You ready? Help! That's the word. This is a cry for help. Help! Because we need it. The time of trial is going to come. We don't want the times of trial that Jesus had to face, for sure. Some people think that this means that the time of trial that will come before the last days, you know, Armageddon, the famines, all of that, you know, save us from that. But I think that it just means help. It just means help. Lord, help. I think it's interesting that that's kind of where he ends the part on what you're supposed to say. It says, Father. Begins the prayer with Father, recognizing the relationship. Hallowed be your name, recognizing that he is holy. Thy kingdom come. Talking about whose kingdom is it? His, exactly. And we're a part of that kingdom and working in and for that kingdom. And then we get to the part for today. Forgive us as we forgive. And help. He taught them to pray, saying those kinds of things. Recognizing our relationship with him and with each other. And then he ends our passage with this. Be persistent. Be persistent. Ask, seek, knock. I realize we did it a little different today, but that's okay. Would you please stand as you are able? And with this information in mind, listen to God's holy word. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight saying to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him. And he answered from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least he will get up because of his persistence. And he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks the door will be open. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks
be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, you taught us to pray because we did not know how to pray. And Lord, we'll always still be learning how to pray. But persistently we shall come to you in the good times and in the bad, with thankful hearts and with broken hearts, with hearts full of joy, gladness, and dancing, with hearts full of sorrow, sometimes with hearts that have bitterness. But Lord, we bring ourselves to you as we are, trusting that by our prayers and the power of your Holy Spirit, we shall be changed more and more into the image of him who died for us. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated.